All right. Let's ask the Lord to help us then. Lord, we bless your name. You're good. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. We know there's going to be healing. Amen. We thank you for our brother Bob and how wonderful everything went. Lord, I know there's a lot of prayer going up for Bob, and he's really feeling wonderful. And we thank you for that, Lord. So let your blessing be there in the hospital room. And let your blessing be upon us, Lord, that we can understand what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I will start with Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He sees the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, I know these are, you know, they sound real mysterious and all, but the book of Revelation was written for the last days. And it's the only book I know of that has a curse on it. It says, cursed be anyone that removes anything from this book. He will not have his place in the holy city or something. It's a very unusual book. And I don't think it's been too well understood up to the present hour. But we're in this time now. We're close to the coming of the Lord. And so things are being made clear that have not been clear. I have just written a brief essay called The Closing Days of the Church Age. And if you want a copy, I'll send you an attachment on your email. And my email is rbt5@cox.net. It hasn't been proofread yet, but when it's proofread, I'll send you a copy if you're interested in this sort of thing. So some of the things of Revelation that have not been clear to me are becoming clear. Now, I know what the Lord wants me to talk to you about this morning is the next coming of the Lord. Now, the next coming of the Lord, I don't know how soon it will be. Could be next. It won't be right away because there's too much that has to be fulfilled. But it could be 20 years, something maybe shorter than that, 10 years. or it may be longer, it may be 50 years, though I doubt that will be that long. Maybe 10 years would be a good gift. Yes, God can do a lot in a short period of time. But what he wants me to talk to you about is being ready to go with him when he comes. Now, when the Lord Jesus comes, he will set up a staging area in the air, not in heaven, but in the air. And you read that in 1 Thessalonians 4, the saints were caught up to the air. Now, air is a specific Greek word, eros, and that's what it means, is air. When you see the word heaven in the Old Testament or the New, it can mean the spirit heaven where God is, or it can mean the sky. It has two meanings, heaven. So when you see that, you almost have to tell from the context, does this mean sky, or does it mean the spirit heaven where God is? The Greek term is uranos, and it can mean sky. In the beginning, God created Hashemayim Haaretz, the heaven and the earth. But then when you read it down in Genesis 1, it's talking about the firmament, because he placed the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky, in the heaven. So that's important to keep in mind when we're talking about the coming of the Lord. Now, when he comes, he will come from the spirit heaven, where he is at with God the Father, and he will set up a staging area in the air. He'll stop in the air. And from this point, I'm talking about the next coming of Jesus. At this point, he will, the saints that come with him, which will be way more than the saints on the earth, great host of saints from the beginning of time, will come with Jesus, and then Jesus will remain at the staging area in the air, and probably with the army of angels. See, when he comes, he's coming with the saints and angels. There's two armies. The Hebrew term is Machanaim. It's a double camp. And it first appears when Jacob is returning from Laban. You'll see that term. And you'll see it again in the Song of Solomon. What do we see in the bride? It is the dance of Machanaim, the dance of a double camp. That's important to remember, because these are two separate armies that work together. The angels do the fighting, and the saints judge. It's given to man to judge. So the saints make judgments on the wicked in the earth, and then the angels carry it out. So it's two camps, and they'll be at the staging area, along probably with the white war stallions, because it is a cavalry charge. Cavalry charge. The coming of the Lord is a cavalry charge, like we have over there with Christ on his horse. So we stop at the staging area, Christ, probably the white stallions without doubt, the army of angels, and then the army of saints will descend to the earth. They will descend to where their bodies are buried, wherever they may be, in the sea or on the earth, or vaporized and scattered around. But they'll descend, and then God will put their bodies back together and then clothe them with glory. This will happen to the saints who come down from the staging area and get their bodies back from wherever they are, and then be clothed with glory. And fix that in mind, because where we read this morning is about the first resurrection. And that I have just told you, described to you about the saints coming down, is the first resurrection. Now, these are they who will then, after going up to the staging area, they'll be mounted on the white horses and then descend with Christ to do battle against Satan, against the false prophet, and against Antichrist, and against the armies of the wicked. And then later, right after that, as soon as these three big spirit lords are taken care of, Christ will lead his army against. They'll go through every city, every town, every village on the earth and cleanse it of evil spirits and wicked people. That army is described in the second chapter of Joel. And when we sing Blow the Trumpet in Zion, we're talking about the going of Christ with his resurrected saints through the earth to cleanse the earth from evil in preparation for the rulership of Christ and his saints over the earth. And that is the sequence of events, to the best of my knowledge. Now, what about those of us who are alive on the earth? We who are, and I'll really emphasize this point, we who are ready, qualified, competent to be in this host that will fight against the wicked lords and then cleanse the earth, will be changed while standing on our feet. That is, we will not die. We will not have that advantage of having died and getting used to the spirit world. We will, while standing on our feet, our blood will disappear, and in its place will be the Holy Spirit, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. So we'll be standing on our feet. I don't know what the sensation will be like, but we will change from mortal life to eternal life while standing on our feet. Then we will join together with the saints who have come with Jesus, who will be standing on the earth in their glorified bodies, and we will join together with them. And our body that has been changed, this body, the flesh and bones of this body, will be infused with eternal life and then clothed with glory. So we will not be different from the saints who have returned with Christ. And then we will all be caught up together. We will be caught up together in the sight of the people on the earth. And they will be terrified. I expect there'll be sound at that time, probably trumpets blowing, maybe a great angel choir, maybe organs, because that will be a grand and glorious thing for us and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as soon as we are up to be with the Lord, the angels and the white war stallions, as I understand it, and I've gone through Revelation very carefully as I was writing this latest essay, then at that point, the vials of wrath will be poured out. That will be what the Catholics call the disarray, the day of wrath. And you can read about what that will consist of in Revelation 17. Starts off with great festering sores, and the waters are turned to blood, and other things. Revelation 17 will tell you of the vials of God's wrath. That's not the tribulation. The tribulation will happen while mankind is alive on the earth, after the two witnesses. Then Antichrist will rule for what's called in the scripture the last half of the week. And then that tribulation, what's entailed in that, is in Revelation chapters 8 and 9. It seems that after that, you wouldn't need any day of wrath. But the tribulation itself will be so bad that Jesus said, if it were not for the elect, it would be shortened, or every person on earth would die. That's the great tribulation. And people say, well, we won't be here. Well, if we will not be here, what sense does it make to say, for the elect's sake, the day shall be shortened? We certainly will be here. But you'll find, if you read in chapter 7, get it straight here, yeah, 7, the 144,000 that are sealed, they're sealed. They're servants of God, and they're sealed so they won't be hurt by the great tribulation. That's why they're sealed, as far as I can tell. But what I want to impress on you, one thing is, we're at the beginning of the end. And the days from here out are going to be something else. And the danger, you see, right now we don't realize it, but we're living in the Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist spirit is that of buying and selling. Money is predominant. Money is the greatest thing in America right now and throughout the world. The great thing is money. That money is the power of Antichrist. The Spirit of God is the power of Jesus Christ. Money is the power of Antichrist. And we don't realize it, but we're in it. And God knows we're in it. So he's looking for those who will put first the seeking of the kingdom of God and his righteousness before money. That's what he's looking for. And those are people who will be sealed. I know it says tribes of Israel, but when it meant in Revelation 7, but when it says the tribe of Joseph, it's referring also to Ephraim, because if you go back to Ezekiel 37, Ephraim stands for Joseph. So the tribe of Joseph is mentioned, and that includes Ephraim. And Ephraim, because of a prophecy of Jacob, includes the Gentiles. So those who are called the servants of our God will be sealed, so they won't be hurt by the great tribulation. You may not remember all that I'm telling you, but it will be on the tape. You can review it if you care to. Now, the point is, from here on, you can forget about retirement. You can forget about how you're going to lay up money and you're going to do this and you're going to do that, because it no longer is an issue. We're at the end, and it is no longer as an issue. So you may have to adjust your whole thinking in terms of what I'm about to tell you. All right? Now, what we read this morning was about the first resurrection. I've never heard it preached, but there are two resurrections. Two. When Jesus comes the next time, that is the first resurrection. That's when he comes with his saints. It's in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And as it says, the dead are raised, and then we together with them are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You got that part? That's the first resurrection. Then there's going to be 1,000 years. Whether it's a literal 1,000 or not, I don't know. But the Bible calls it 1,000-year period during which Christ and his saints will govern the earth. The purpose for that 1,000 years is to give God's elect, who were not qualified and competent to go with Christ when he came, a chance to be brought to maturity in preparation for the second resurrection and the coming down to earth of the royal priesthood. Very simple plan. Now my point is this. To go with Christ when he comes does not include the whole church by any means. And that's where I'm sounding the alarm, because people are being taught that just about everybody that names the name of Christ is going to go with Jesus. That's not true at all. The ones that go with Jesus will be a very select group who will be able to descend with him, cleanse the earth of evil, and rule. Now, most of you, maybe all of you except Abby, have been in other churches. And so you'll realize what I'm talking about. Now, when you go to Revelation, I think it's chapter 20, verse 5. Well, let's take 4. Now, there's not going to be many people who qualify to go with the Lord. That is the center of what I'm saying. I'm sounding the alarm. Because the average church thinking is, we're all going to go, and those people are about as ready to go with Christ against Antichrist and the rest, and then go through the earth, as you are to eat caterpillars. It isn't going to happen. What a thing to bring to the church. There will be relatively few people. Now look at the qualifications of those who will be ready to go with Christ when he comes. I saw thrones. That's the first thing about the first resurrection. It is for rulers. It is for rulers. And as I talk, you can think about the church people that you know without criticism and just thinking, are they really of that spiritual stature? And I think you'll come up with the idea, it's ludicrous. They're in no way. Now, I think what has biased our thinking is two things. One is the philosophy of humanism, in which man is considered more important than God, and it has severely impacted Christian thinking. And the second thing, oh God, keep my mind clear here. The second thing is our equating of large numbers of people with the working of God. I remember, do you know why Switzerland is so blessed? How many know why? Do you know why, Abby? It's because of John Calvin. That's why it's so blessed. That's the way God works. He'll take a man like John Calvin, who wrote the Christian Institutes, by the way, in Switzerland. And he pleased God so much that God's blessing has come on the whole country. And that's how God works. And it'll go down to several generations because he found one person. That's what the Christian school is named after. Calvin Christian School is named after John Calvin, the Swiss. And we in America are very subject to numbers. There's one place, and Audrey can correct me on this, there's one place where she visited in Switzerland with the Sisterhood of Mary. And what did they have? One person that went to that church? Do you remember there was one church at back? And there was two people. What would we think of a church of two people? See, we're brainwashed on this numbers thing. And the Bible is a record of individuals. How many would like to set your star by the nation of Israel? They were in sin half the time. They finally lost everything. And look at them now, closed into a little bit of the area that God promised to them because of sin. But who do we remember? Elijah, Elisha, Daniel. We don't remember the nation of Israel because they were all fooling around. And the same is true today. And our mind is biased because of humanism and because we think that God works with great numbers. If we had a church of 10 people, we'd say, that's no church at all. In fact, this church, when we were over in the old building, got down to one person, so the four square closed it. It was a closed church when Audrey and I came, because it got down to one person. Everything is numbers. They can't figure out how it would be if that one person was the Apostle Paul. They can't get it. One person gave us most of the books of the New Testament. One person. Now we've got to get that bias out of our mind, because God does not work with great numbers of people. If we saw a church with 10,000 people and another one would say 25, we'd say, you know, that big church, that's going somewhere. There may not be a Christian in it, because God's people in America don't like the idea of take up your cross and follow me. And if you don't believe me, ask them what they think of that. Are you taking up your cross? Are you denying yourself? Are you following the Lord? Is he your bread? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Or is your God money? That's Antichrist. Buying and selling. I'm in rare form today, I tell you. So what do we see about the first resurrection? Thrones. How many Christians do you know that are competent to sit on a throne? You think about them. Why, their biggest problems on earth is, you know, something to do with money usually, or maybe their kids or something else. But to sit on a throne, you've got to be kidding. These are the only people who will go with Christ when he comes. And if there's 15, there's 15. And you say that can't be. One of the greatest events on the history of the earth was the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus and Elijah appeared and God spoke from heaven. How many people were there? Three. It's so hard for us to think. What if you had a church of three people and Christ was transfigured there? Wake up! This is what God is saying to us in America. Wake up! All the prophets that I know of, not the fair weather, candy eating, lollipop licking people that pretend to be prophets on the internet, they couldn't prophesy your dog to a bone. They're not prophets. They're just telling you what you want to hear. So you'll follow them and give them money. Every prophet that I know, one is Michael Bodea. He's the son of a famous pastor from wherever. Romania is telling the truth. And the other prophets are saying America's getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and the stronger nations are watching that. And it's the truth. We've been given the president that we deserve. And why do we deserve him? Because of abortion and fooling around with sex and gender. So we were given the president we deserve. And Europe is not impressed with him, I'll tell you right now. They're all laughing in their beard because they know America. See, in the communist playbook, the first thing you do to take over a nation is to destroy its moral structure. Did you know that? In the communist playbook. Oh, what's happening in America? an increasing amount of public nudity. That's what's happening. And the kids being taught crazy stuff. We're being weakened as a nation. And politics won't solve it. It would have to be the stopping of abortion and the stopping of weird sexual practices. And I don't think that's going to happen unless God in His goodness blows up half the country. That's about what it would take before we'd ever wake up. There's young people, and they see, and they're talking about Oklahoma. They say, did you know there was a gay pride parade there? Implying that that's why they had the tornado. Young people. But the rest of the nation goes on and they begin to study about where the north comes and the south wind come and the rest of the winds come and everything. And I've listened to the news several times and the name of God has not been mentioned once by anybody. Now that's new in America. That's new. Namath says, has there been an earthquake? Has there been a disaster? And the Lord has not done it? We don't realize it, and we're going on our way locked in the comforts of the Antichrist system when we don't even realize it. And God, you think of the things that have happened in America over the last 5 years, God is talking to this country. And they're going to have one day of prayer and repentance. One day. I think God will say, if that's what you're going to do, forget it. Because it's supposed to be every day. Not one day. I don't know. I dare say it might be better to have no day of repentance than one out of 2 or 3 years. Good night. What are we thinking about? We're backslidden. We don't realize it. Thrones. If you and I are going to be caught up to meet the Lord when He comes, we have to be qualified to sit on a throne. And that means that God has dealt with us. So everything that is not in His image has been washed away. We have confessed it. We have obeyed the Lord. We have renounced our sins. We have denounced them. We're walking in open confession of sin and repentance every day. The standard is way higher than is presented in the American churches by and large. Way higher. This German song up here was right. That's the kind of stuff God's looking for if they're sincere. Abby says they are. Those who had been given authority to judge. Judge what? Judge the world. And you can be doing that now. When you see these things that are an abomination, don't talk about it and don't get political about it. Go to prayer and tell God about it. Because God has given to you to judge. And you remember the angels came down to Sodom. And what did they say? God has sent us down here to see if the report that's come up is true. When you're on the earth. And you can see what's true. And you can keep telling God about it. Look, God, this happened. And things will begin to change. But politics isn't going to. What is that going to do? They're all seeking their own, as far as I can see. I don't see any of them among them that's like St. Simon's stylites. I'll tell you that for sure. They're all seeking their own. But you don't have to do that, and I don't have to do that. We can... When we see something that's an abomination, then we don't fret, as I've been telling you for 10 years, don't fret that God is not pleased with your fretting. That's the same as criticizing God. He has power, and He can change things. So your fretting isn't doing anything but just complaining. You'll be 80 years old, and you'll be a complainer. That's what you'll be. You tell God, look at this is what's happening today. Lord, it's an abomination. And that's not wasted. That God hears that. And He'll do something about it if your life is right. You won't. If you're disobeying God, forget it. You're wasting your time. You've got to be obedient. Belief in Christ is not going to save anybody in the last days. It has to be obedience to His word and living by His life. That you'll survive and you will have salvation in the closing days of the church age if you obey Christ and live by his life. But believing in Christ, saying you believe in Christ, isn't going to do a thing. Not a thing. Jesus said, you call me Lord, Lord, why don't you do what I say? That's this belief thing. That's a product of humanism. I know in John 6, the Lord says, this is the work of God that you believe on him whom he sent. And then he goes on to describe that you must eat his body and eat his flesh and drink his blood. It's not up here in the head. That's where Antichrist works. It's in the heart and in your conviction and the things that lead to what you do. And you don't cave when you get sexual lust on you. You don't cave. You go to Jesus and get the victory over it. How does that sound to you? That's the truth. All right. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. That could be those who actually have their head cut off. I don't say that. But with most Christians, the problem is that we need to get this head up here cut off so we quit reasoning in our head. We need to get the mind of Christ. That's where our problem is. In this thing up here. And knowledge does what? Puffs up. Well, you're so smart, and I'm so smart. But that isn't going anywhere. It's do we love God and do his will? Huh? Amen. Come on, don't sit there like a frog on a lily pad. Huh? Amen. That's better. We'll get Lloyd going in a minute. All right. And because of the word of God, they had not worshipped the beast or his image. I'm going to tell you something you probably never heard before. Well, you know the beast is Antichrist. Just think about his name, Antichrist. That means against Christ. I don't know why the Bible calls him a beast, but they do. But his name is Antichrist. All right, he's against Christ. Now, we worship the beast. We worship Antichrist. Now, are you there? When we put money ahead of principle. I don't mean principle in the case of money. I mean our moral principles. When we know what's right. And when we put money ahead of that, that's Antichrist. Now, there was a statue built to Antichrist. All right. It makes me think of the statue that was built to Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. That statue was of gold. The Bible does not say what the statue is made of, this new one that the false prophet calls us to speak. But anyway, that's what it's talking about here. They did not worship that. Now, it has to do with buying and selling. That's what an Antichrist is, buying and selling, buying and selling. Now, guess who puts it into the minds of the people of the world for Antichrist marks and for this statue? Guess who does that? It isn't Antichrist that does that. It's those who support him. Do you know who they are? Yes, it's the false prophet. Do you know who the false prophet is with the two horns of the lamb that speaks like the dragon? Do you know who the false prophet is? It's Christian people who act out of their own will instead of finding the will of God. That's the false prophet. We've had him, haven't we? Name it and claim it. Prosperity, do this, do that, call on the angels. I read on one famous faith healer at the end of his book, it said, if you need money, just tell your angel to go get it. It's going to command God's angels. That's deception, it's delusion, it's a false prophet. But he works miracles. He causes fire to come down from heaven to convince people. And we're moving toward that day. And the day when you see the church working together with the federal government in the realm of finance, you better get close to God. Because it is the Christian people who speak with the voice of the dragon. How many know what that language is? I will. I will. I will. It's the human being trying to serve God without dying to his will. You can't get anywhere with God while you remain alive. The church programs are filled with I will. Now let's do this and save the world. Now let's do that and save the world. They don't wait till they hear what Jesus says. Maybe Jesus is more interested in preparing his church for his coming than he is our saving the world. Because we make them twofold more the child of hell than we ourselves are. It's the truth. We're far from being ready for the coming of the Lord. Far from it. And it's going to be an individual matter. We have to come to the Lord and say, well, I heard Brother Thompson yelling this morning, how does it apply to me? You don't say to your wife, oh, wasn't that terrible? We should go to another church where they say nice things. And then you both get into a fight because she sticks up for me. So you both get into a fight. That's about the level of spiritual maturity. When I preach to you like this, you don't discuss it with anyone and say, what do you think? Do you think he's right? Do you think he's got something that is bothering him, that makes him angry? You go to Jesus and say, Lord, is it true or not? And how does it apply to me? Amen. You could do that this morning because we're going to take communion. We're going to take the body and blood of the person who was utterly sincere and would not compromise, even though it cost him his life. Well, I've got to care for my family. So did he. He had sisters. He had brothers. The mother. Joseph doesn't appear very much. I don't know what happened to him. All right. They had not worshipped the beast or his image. In other words, they were not primarily occupied with money. That's right, John. That's exactly right. John's grinning at me back there. They had not received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. In other words, their hands were not spent entirely trying to acquire money. But how will I take care of my family in the days to come when America's in chaos? You can't prepare for that. The only preparation you can make is to learn to live with Jesus. You can't see your money won't be worth anything. You can't do it. That will not support you. In that case, you're making money your God. Your God is the one that takes care of you, right? When you spend your time, but I've got to prepare for my retirement and everything. So do I. I retired when I was 65. In the hands, money. In the mind, money. When Jesus said, your Father knows you have need of things. I'm not talking about being impractical. I've worked hard all my life till I became a pastor. Then I went to heaven on flowery beds of ease. All right, now, verse 5, the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6, when the Lord gets to it, there he goes, blessed and holy. You see, it's telling you that this is a rare group. How many churches can you go to and say those people are blessed and holy? Not very many. Blessed and holy. The second death has no power over them. Do you know why? Because the second death has authority from the Father over, 8 specific behaviors. And that's in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It tells you, starting off with the fearful, and you can read them. And the lake of authority, lake of fire has authority over them, whether you accept Christ or you don't. The Father has given the lake of fire authority over all lying, over all that's vile, over everything. And the lake of fire has that. And it's suspended when you accept Christ. That's the meaning of grace, you know. If you get grace with a mortgage payment or something, I mean, it's a suspension. It doesn't mean you never have to pay it. Now, all those things in Revelation 21:8 are things that are not in the image of God. And the word holy means those things are not present in God. And God called you to be in His image. And if your mind is not spent seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you are worshiping Antichrist. Hear me. All right. Look at this. The second death has no power over them. Why do you think that's true? Come on, that's not a hard question. Come on. Because there's nothing in you that it can burn. You could go swimming in it, and I'm serious. But if there's one of those eight behaviors in there, you're going to burn. And they will not be in anyone who goes with Jesus when He comes. It means you are a full overcomer. And that's what it says in Revelation 2, isn't it? He that overcomes shall rule with me with a rod of iron over the nations, they'll be broken to shivers. You're not talking about many church Christians in America. You're not talking. If you got one in a church, you're doing great. They will be priests of God and of Christ and with rule with Him for 1,000 years. We're talking about people. Mario, we're talking about boys and girls, men and women. We're not talking about some group out somewhere on another planet. But we're not at that stature because we've been preached to with humanism. How much God loves us. How God is so pleasing. And we ought to, you know, let God know how fortunate He is to have somebody like us. That's our attitude. One woman said, if God let me suffer, I wouldn't serve Him. Can you imagine that? A stewardess on an airplane when I was writing on righteousness on my laptop says, what are you writing on? She's a Christian. And I said, righteousness. And she said, Jemima, she said, I hate that word. And she boasts of being a Christian. That's the state that the Christian people are in today. And we'll be in it too. If we don't mind our business, because the demon population that surrounds us is increasing. So we've got to really cut the mustard now. What the Lord told me to tell you today was, you know, like the old song, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. We're not going up in the rapture unless we're qualified to rule with Christ. And that's a cut above what we're used to thinking. There's nothing to do with our church life or how we memorize the Bible or anything else. It has to do with character, the character of God, the inner iron of righteousness. Now we're ready for the communion. And if you need to brush up on your spiritual life, come and take the body and blood of the Lord and He will help you. Jesus loves you. He doesn't want to leave you here. You know, if you're left and the kings go, you know what you're facing? Satan's still on the earth. False prophets still on the earth. Antichrist is still on the earth. And the vessels of God's wrath are being poured out. And he said, that would never happen to me. See, that's the delusion we've got in here. God is not interested in it because we're American Christians. We see the dedication of these friends of Abby. There's people all over the world that love God. They're not like Americans who are money, 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 money. That's why the Muslims hate us. The people have no spiritual values. And the black people sometimes say they have no soul. And that's true. It's money, material things. We need Jesus. How many believe that? Two people, I think. All right. I'll have you stand for a minute to get the kinks out of your legs, and then you can be seated again. Lloyd's going to give us some organ music, and then we're going to take communion. So I suggest, if you feel you're not prepared to sit on a throne, to rule with Christ, you're not walking with Him to that extent, I suggest that you come forward. Because if God ever gave me a message, ever, it was this morning. I mean, it was before me as clear as crystal since Saturday afternoon. Never has God made a thing so clear to me that He wanted to see, because the warning goes not only to you, it goes out on the tape, it goes out on the internet. And God is saying, people are not going to be caught up to meet Jesus unless they are really meeting very stringent requirements. That's not because God doesn't love us. God does love us. It's because of the task that is given to the royal priesthood to accomplish. That's the reason. It isn't because He hates us and says, I don't like you, you stay down there and we're going to dump vials of wrath on your head. That isn't what it is. He needs people who can stand with Him. Did you ever read Daniel about the angels battling against the wicked angels? Huh? Have you? How many have ever? You need to get into Daniel chapter 10 and 11. You'll find out that there's fighting going on because some of the angels do not stand with Christ. And God is looking for people who will stand with Him, because we're in the middle of the battle between good and evil. And good hasn't won out yet. And there's people that have to stand with Jesus. Are you one of them? Are you going to stand with Jesus? Or are you going to take the part of mankind and say God is cruel? Well, there'll be plenty of people who will do that. No, I want to stand with Jesus. I don't care what the rest of them do. I want to stand with Jesus. Stand with Jesus. You may be seated. If you need to come, come. I'm telling you, the Lord really impressed me. I thought, am I going to be yelling at those people again? Well, I know what the Lord has told me before. If you don't, I'll get someone who will. That's what He told me when I was preaching in the old church. I said, I'm awful hard on these people. He says, if you don't do it, I'll get someone who will. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. Shall we hold the bread? And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Lord, I have delivered what You put on my heart yesterday and today. Help us, Lord. It's so new to us. It's such a different vision. And I pray, Lord, that it will become clear as people pray and think about it, that You're coming for an army. You're coming for kings. You're not coming for the average lukewarm believer who's hoping to escape from trouble. You're coming for kings. You're coming for those who will rule with You. men of war, women of war, all who march to your drums, Lord. God, the drums of El Shaddai. Help us, Lord, help us, so not one of us this morning will neglect so great salvation and be content and comfortable in the Antichrist system of buying and selling. But rather, Lord, move on us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Shall we partake? In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. Shall we hold the cup? Saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, I've talked about your coming. And you're coming to establish your rule on the earth, and you're looking for kings and priests. And I pray, Lord, that none of us will be careless, but will meet your requirements as you lead us and help us each day. I know you love us, Lord, and you want us to be with you. Now help us to be qualified and competent, Lord, to be a part of your royal priesthood. In Jesus' name, shall we partake. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now go in the Lord and be richly blessed. Have a wonderful day in Christ. You're dismissed.